You are listening to a sermon by Annika Kraus, recorded on Sunday, December 15th, 2024, at Point Grand Germanonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgmf.org.
All right. So good morning. So last March, I went to a pastor's retreat in Ontario. And while I was there, I was able to make a quick stop with some friends at one of Lake Huron's beaches. And that day was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. And I decided to venture off hunting through millions of rocks to see what I could find. All the while, this feeling of connection kept building in me, connection with nature and connection with God, and I couldn't stop smiling at this simple pleasure. And I picked up rock after rock to look at the colors and the qualities, and I eventually came back to my group of friends with a handful of treasures, including a rock that that has a hole in it. I have a smooth rock that has a hole through the middle, and I was so excited to show this to my friends, and I said, you know, can I show you what I found? And this rock, known as a hagstone, according to British folklore, means that if you look through it, if you look through the hole in the rock, you can see the spirits that surround you. But speaking more practically, of course, a hagstone is shaped by its environment. The edges are round and smooth as something has happened to make it have a hole in it. It has to have these certain characteristics, and then it's labeled as this hagstone. And the other rocks I found had quartz in them, and I found pumice stone, and it brought me so much joy and delight. It was a simple moment, but on reflection, an important one for me to take notice of. Later that day, all the pastors participated in a circle activity in which we took turns pointing out what we noticed and appreciated about each other. And one of my friends said that they were taken aback and amazed by my childlike curiosity at the beach that morning. How I took so much enjoyment in searching through the rocks and picking out my favorites. I told them that as someone who had recently been struggling with anxiety to do with my work, that the ability to find joy in a simple moment was a sign of healing. I've actually been thinking quite a lot about joy lately, and not just for the sake of this sermon. But I've had the privilege of providing pastoral care lately to a couple of people who are experiencing some pretty severe anxiety and depression. And I've come to understand joy in kind of a visceral way. Joy is the feeling one has when they experience connection with self, God, others, and or nature, but it connects connects mind, body, and spirit. This has a positive impact on all of those parts of ourselves. These experiences of joy stem from these feelings of security and interconnectedness and calm, and have a positive impact on the central nervous system. I'm not a mental health professional or a doctor, but this is what I've observed in the people I've cared for over the years, as well as in myself and my own experiences with anxiety. The two people I'm providing care for at the moment have both expressed something similar about joy. When they do experience moments of joy, they catch themselves and immediately their joy turns sour by their thinking that the feeling is fleeting and will never last, that the anxiety is their true state and they will return to that immediately, which of course is a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're overwhelmed by their anxiety loops and feelings of insecurity or fear, that they can't live into the moments of joy when they present themselves. It's a vicious cycle and one that's difficult to get out of. One that I've experienced myself, and so I have a lot of empathy for people who go through it. I also know people who are experiencing first Christmases without loved ones, a shouldering a mantle of grief as we move into this season, the holidays, which in which there is pressure mounting to be of good cheer. Parties, dinners, and family gatherings demand social energy and can sometimes feel exhausting. There is a need to be joyful, and it can feel overwhelming. It is something for us all to be aware of. But taking a look at our passages from this morning, it makes me wonder if the anxious or exhausted among us are actually in good company. In Psalm 126, the psalmist is petitioning God to restore the well-being of God's people. It is categorized as a psalm of lament. Israel is in national distress, and the people are full of fear and anxiety. They are described as weeping, lacking the joy of security and stability, right relationship with the land as an agrarian society, and right relationship with God as God's people. It's interesting to note that in this prayer of lament and petition, two-thirds of it are a reminder of how God has been present for God's people in the past. It recounts God bringing Israel out of Babylonian exile. It says their mouths were filled with laughter and their tongues with shouts of joy, which is echoed in the latter third when the psalmist writes, "May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy." Israel calls out to God to act with them as God did with their ancestors and restore the relationship and security required to experience joy in their God, in their community, and in their lives. And there is hope that God will do so, as restoration is in God's nature. God is constantly calling us and pulling us towards joy, towards relationship with each other, and in relationship with God's self. It's important to note that this is not a promise of a quick fix to all our problems. It is, however, a promise and a recognition that God is with us every step of the way as we work on ourselves, on our relationship with God, self, others, and the natural world. As we do the internal work of sowing, investing our tears, our time, energy, effort, and resources, God is the fertile ground in which our joy will grow. God grounds us in strength and security because in God we are fully known and fully loved. Accepting this gives us the courage to work on healing the things that bar us from the joy we were created to experience. I want to take a quick look at Mary. The Magnificat is one of my absolute favorite passages. But I think about Mary quite a bit, and I wonder at what she would have been feeling. We have this vision of Mary delivering this prophecy, this Magnificat, with strong words, but I would imagine that there was fear for her as well. I wouldn't help but be able to be scared. She was a young woman, an inexperienced girl, who was asked this huge thing. But we see that she is grounded in God, and in her trust for God, she's able to speak these prophetic words, able to find the courage to talk about toppling tyrants. And she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." She, despite what I would imagine would be a fair amount of anxiety at being pregnant while not married in her time and in her place, she accepts this calling from God, being rooted in the God of love, knowing that she is fully known. Finding joy in what she has been called to do. Still, I imagine the anticipation of Jesus' birth came with anxiety, fear, and uncertainty, as well as the deep hope and expectation and courage mentioned in this passage. So I think that we can hold these intention as we celebrate Christmas. If stress, anxiety, grief, loneliness, compassion fatigue, depression, and/or uncertainty are part of what Advent means for you this year, you are in good and holy company. And know that you can take space for yourself, that there is no obligation to respond in a specific way. Have compassion for yourself, but also encourage yourself to embrace the moments of joy when they arrive, thinking about the joy that comes with the birth of our Savior. Welcome these moments, even if they feel fleeting, knowing that God, the God of love, is on your side, holding you up. And if you're having a blissful Advent and the holiday times are full of joy for you, well, that makes me glad. We were created for joy, and I hope that you fully live into that joy while being conscious that those around you may be having a harder time. Our passages from this morning look forward to a time where all experience joy in God to the fullest. We anticipate the fullness of this joy in Advent, waiting for the birth of Jesus. And in hope, we allow ourselves to be shaped and molded in our faith, like the hagstone, which I know you can't see, but kind of like the hagstone with a hole in it, which has been shaped in its tumbling and in its creation. And through experiences, it's smoothed out and shaped. And we can become who we're created to be, become something special, and view the world through the lens of hope that Jesus has given us. And I hope that as we enter into this, as we enter into the holiday season, to Christmas, that joy surpasses any sorrows that you are experiencing, that we are able to open ourselves to the wonderful joy that we see in Jesus. Amen.